Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is the Cave Show. This is PLR. We are back. I thought we were going to rock out Capella, but I guess we didn't. Thanks for your patience. I was actually in Vegas covering the NBA Summer League, but we are back, ready to roll again. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR, and we are coming to you live from Maduro's Fire Cigar. It's back on live today. Make sure you get down to Level and PLR sent you. They will take 10%. That's right, 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Located locally in Chandler, Arizona. Looks like I got a remix going there. Like I said, welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. I was doing a remix and didn't even know it. Taking me back to my old DJ days. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show. We are located at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco today. Thank you for hosting us. We have a lot of stuff to get into today. We're going to talk Summer League. We're going to talk Shady McCoy. Did he do it? Didn't he do it? Cardinals general manager, Steve Keim. I want to ask you a question. If he was a player, what would we be talking about? How much would we be crucifying him at this point? I'm just saying. So we're going to talk about that, and I've just about had it up to my neck. Bullcrap Super Team League and basketball and how much we hate Golden State for being a super team. Starting to get on my damn nerves. We're definitely going to talk about that as well, too. And what was Pac-Man Jones thinking about? Oh, I'm sorry, Adam Jones. What was he thinking about? We're going to get into that, too. Like I said, we're at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. We are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And we're out here, Chandler, Arizona, coming to you live. Get down and let them know that PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off of any purchase, cigar purchase that you have. Note that they do serve beer and wine now, so you can have your smoke, watch your sports, have a beer, have a glass of wine. All good here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Call number 917-889-7828. That, again, is 978-9-7828. You want to call in, talk about any one of those topics, or you got something different on your mind? We do have a caller. Thank you for holding. This is PLR. You're in the Cave Show on the Kerry Lackey line. Who do I have the privilege of speaking to?
Good afternoon, Paul. Welcome back. It's Lou again.
Thank you. How are you, my friend?
All right. Well, I know you don't follow soccer that much, but oh boy, we got a doozy here.
It is still 1-1.
Yep, we're in the semifinals. We're out extra time. Croatia and England not up. The winner plays France on Sunday. Oh boy, France.
France look good when they beat Belgium.
Yeah, I know. France, I believe France last won in 1998, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, they said that if England gets through this and beats Croatia, this World Cup championship will be the most watched World Cup ever.
And considering that they didn't even win it with Beckham.
No. No. There was no bending leg.
Yeah, go figure that
no
out.
No bending leg for this.
Oh, well, I get it. Oh, you got me there.
I was waiting for you. I was like, I know he's gonna run with this one, but you didn't go with it with me.
Well, we can't all bend Mike Beckham, you know. Oh boy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, the trouble with Pac-Man, Adam Jones. I mean, you know, somebody just tried to come after him. I mean, what was
I? What was TSA thinking?
Who said they were thinking? I mean, you used to go start a fight with somebody for a pair, and this was an employee of the airport.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying, TSA. I just don't understand it. I just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
there are times where, you know, you want to really get with someone, get on their side. But there comes a point sometimes where you may just have to say, well, this person is this person. This is just who they are. And I hate when people say sometimes, trouble follows me. Where are you walking to? Where are you walking to that's making trouble attractive enough to follow you? So I don't want to put anyone – yeah, I don't want to judge anyone before all the facts are out. You know what I mean? But I'm anxious to find out an explanation for this one.
Yeah, thing is, do we have one?
Exactly. Well, Lou, the Midsummer's Night Classic is next week. You saw the rosters. You saw who's there. You saw who's not there. But I want to ask you a question. I'm going to ask my guest the same question as we get closer to the game. Do you think that we've outdated the there should be a guy for every team on the All-Star game yet?
Wait, what do you mean by that?
By that, I mean every team has to be represented in an All-Star game.
Oh, I get it.
To participate.
I get it. So like, even the teams that don't deserve it should have at least one player. Well, if you're like, say, like the Mets or the Orioles, who don't even deserve to be there this year, I don't see it.
Yeah, that's an old MLB rule. That way, you know, a fan in every city is represented and they're waiting
right.
for their guy to get in the game. And you could have a great player on a bad team and make it. But let's just say you're a team, I don't know, like the Orioles, and I'm not as familiar with the Orioles stats, to be honest with you. And say there is no guy that, based on his numbers or based on his votes, should be in the All-Star game. So what they do is they just take the best of the, you know, the best of the worst they had, and they put him in the game. I just, like I said, I wanted your opinion before I gave mine.
Yeah, I mean, because you take like Baltimore, who has been atrocious this season, and the Mets, who have been a fall from grace since like mid-May. No, I think if your team was that bad, you're not worthy of getting an All-Star nomination. Sorry.
I agree with you. I really do. I think that what I would like to see them do, if they're not going to – if you're going to say, okay, well, the team has to be represented, then I say you represent the home team. So no matter who's hosting the game, you can take a player from that team. If they're bad, good, and different, and they can, in essence, be the, you know, the ambassador for the game in your city. So if the game is in Washington and Washington is terrible – then maybe Bryce Harper, who would not have been voted in, or, you know, if he wasn't voted in or he wasn't a popular player, maybe then he becomes your ambassador for the city of Washington and he represents the Nationals. But why should there be a Kansas City Royal on if there's not a Kansas City Royal deserving of being in the All-Star game? I think that was great years ago, but I think that rule has long gone at this point, and I think it's a waste.
It definitely is.
Any surprises going into the break, Lou? Any baseball surprise you for
well,
how good they're
you know,
doing?
I don't know if I could say surprise. I mean, you know, I am impressed, though, with the way Philadelphia and Atlanta have, you know, come back from the dead, you know, the last few years. So that's a pleasant surprise. The Mets, of course, who start out, you know, on fire, have been a complete disaster since then.
Are you surprised that Miami is not as bad as people thought they would be?
They're bad enough. I mean, yeah, maybe they made slight improvements this year, but it's a far cry from where they want to be. I mean, Jeter thought, oh, we'll be contention. We'll make the playoffs this year. Don't worry about it. Jeter, what have you been smoking?
No, I hear you.
I mean, really.
I hear you, but I don't even think playoffs were on his mind. I just thought that he was trying to cut payroll and start over. And
he thinks that if he did that, he would think it'd be more competitive with the team to make something like a playoff run. And believe me, brother, you are far from it.
I'll tell you what, that series in the American League East is really heating up. The Yankees have the lead. Boston goes on an 8-game tear. Now, they're up, you know, basically 2 games in a loss column. And you know, before the year is over, the Yankees are going to go on a tear, and it'll find its way to balance out. And just taking the divisions kind of piece by piece, there's no one in the Central that's going to challenge.
The thing is, though, that it's not really a competitive division. I mean, those are the only two teams that have above 500 records, and everybody else is way behind. It's like more like and they have no chance to catch up and catch them. I think at the very least, even if the Yankees go in a slump, they're going to at least get a wild card spot out of it.
Well, they should. I mean, we know Boston and New York are there. Cleveland's going to win their division. Where they're going to have their worry, and I shouldn't necessarily say have the worry, but where they're going to have to be careful, is somehow Oakland has got hot. They're now 10 games over 500. Obviously, Houston's Houston. Seattle's still finding a way to make it happen. So I don't know if they're going to catch, you know, if either Seattle or Oakland will necessarily catch one of those teams. But at the same time, I don't think they're going to be able to coast into that wild card spot.
No. I mean, so it's really just a two-way race.
Here's what's funny. The Nationals have played just terrible baseball to start the year at 500. And Lou, with all that said, they're still only seven games out the loss column to the Phillies and the Braves. And then if you're the Nationals, you have to start saying, okay, are we spending money, which will make us get better? But no, we also know we have Bryce Harper coming up as a free agent. Do we want to spend that much on a rental, get rid of prospects, and then not be able to sign Bryce Harper or keep Bryce Harper? And then now we've given away Bryce Harper, our rental player, and our prospects. So they have a lot of decisions to make in Washington.
Yes, they do. I think you follow tennis. We had a major upset today. Federer out.
Out. Okay, so I'm going to give you a stat. With today's loss, Roger Federer, after winning his first two sets, is now 266-3.
Oh, three losses.
After winning his first two sets. So, yes, he is out. That is quite shocking, to be honest with you, because, like I said, he was 266-2. Going into that third set when he's up, and you just never know. That's why you – what do they say, Lou? That's why you play the game, right?
That's right. But,
this
you know,
is
going to
sound – no, go for
that's
it.
A mighty collapse.
It is. Okay, so for selfish reasons, I really hope – I just looked up at the soccer match again, and for selfish reasons – I hope neither team scores. I want to see penalty kicks.
Yeah. You may not remember, but there was a final that went to a penalty kick as well. You may not remember it, though, but I do.
No, I did not.
Ah.
So I definitely want to
Brazil,
see that.
Brazil, Italy, 1994.
Yep. No, don't remember it. I'm not saying it's not. I
do.
Don't remember.
It was a heartbreaker for me.
You know something about tennis that I think is ridiculous? And I say this because, I, as you know, I cover a lot of the Phoenix stuff here, pretty much everything in Phoenix. And I remember going to the Phoenix Mercury's press day, media day, and everyone wanted to talk about, and I know I'm jumping the subject, but I'm getting back to tennis. I'm just taking a scenic route. And everyone wanted to talk about the players that had babies and how they're coming back, and Dawana Bonner and how she's playing with the baby, and Taurasi and Penny Taylor with their baby, and yada, yada, yada. And I was like thinking, wow, how many times do guys get asked, oh, you had a kid this season, how is that going to impact you on the court? Right. So fast forward now, let's get back around to tennis. They're pumping the Serena match tomorrow as a battle of moms.
Yes.
Are we still at that point mentally where we're saying, just because these two lady tennis players have kids, they have to have the battle of moms? Have you ever heard in any other tennis match ever?
No, I haven't.
It's called a battle of fathers. At some point, doesn't that get a little old?
It does. I think it's just meant for a humorous aspect, nothing to be offensive.
But I'm not offended. It is what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm offended. I just think that storyline gets old. With Serena,
yes.
I understand because she was really sick after she had her baby, really really sick, and I completely understand that. But her opponent wasn't, and we're building this as a battle of moms, and to me that's just a terrible angle to take. There's so many other angles. I just think that's a lazy. I think it's a lazy angle. And I think that when you get lazy and you have nothing else, and maybe Serena's been so dominant, I just think that's a lazy way to look at it. But whatever. It is what it is.
I'm just looking at this picture about McCoy's estranged girlfriend. Oh, boy. He's really got himself in the hot water now.
Here, you know what, though, Lou? I'm waiting and seeing. Good friend of the program, Lou, here on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the Cave Show with PLR. I'm waiting and seeing, Lou, because you know what? It's real easy. I read the account by the lady's friend, and I'm going to tell you something. If LaShawn McCoy did what she alleges he did, then he should go to jail. Just like a guy working at Chase Bank. Just like a guy working at GoDaddy, just like a guy working at GameStop would do. If he did all this, he should go to jail. Here's where I'm disappointed a little bit. I read what the lady that posted the Instagram said. And she said in that quote, "We hid his needles for steroids. We watched him almost kill his dog from beating his dog too bad. We watched him beat his son for stuff that a child should not be beat for. Now he beat her. I can't stand by for another second and watch it after he beat her." So here's my question to you as an adult. And I'm not, again, this is not me saying he's innocent, guilty, anything. But as a human being, what you just said was, I watch a guy shoot up drugs. I watched a guy beat a dog. I watched a grown-ass man beat a kid. But when he touched my friend, he went too far. At worst case scenario, wouldn't you have said something after he beat a kid? You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's innocent or not. I don't know LaShawn McCoy. I don't need to know LaShawn McCoy. I'm just going off of the information that's come out so far. And again, I'm going back to saying, if he's guilty, throw the book at him. But we also saw in San Francisco with Reuben Foster, we saw how someone accused him of doing something that he didn't do. We've seen in the case of the running back from the Dallas Cowboys, where the lady told her friend, you know what, make sure you stick with my story, even if it's a lie. We've seen this. So I don't want to say we can't just jump the gun all the time and say bad person. Because people out here lie to get stuff they want. How do we know this lady didn't say, if LaShawn McCoy doesn't give me this, this, and this, then watch, I'll get even. And if that's the case, then she should be in trouble, or the friend should be in trouble.
Right.
But going back, if McCoy did it, he should. That's not good. You can't touch women. But I used to always say, well, let's get this over with. But you know what? On this one, let's investigate. Let's see what's going on. Let's see what's really happening before we just crucify someone for something maybe they didn't do.
Right. All right, Paul, on that note, I shall take my leave, and we'll try to hit again tomorrow.
Sounds good, my friend. Take care of yourself.
Thanks.
Good friend of the program, Lou, chiming in. Here's my question for you. Steve Keim, Arizona Cardinals general manager, was pulled over for allegedly driving under the influence. He identified himself by name, but he said he was head of security. Didn't say he was the Cardinals GM. Refused to take the field sobriety test. Did, though, go in for the blood test and all that stuff, which is fine. He said he had knee problems or ankle problems or leg problems or something of that nature. He couldn't take that, so they basically said in the state of Arizona, if you refuse to give blood or take your analysis down at the station, you will lose your driver's license for a year. That's just the law. So he went ahead and he did that for sure. Of course, he said he wasn't drunk. He had just had a couple beers, because all drunk drivers are never drunk. They just had a couple beers. Here's my question to you. If he was a player and he was arrested for alleged DUI, how much will we be saying, oh, here goes these overcollar players. Look at these players, they're so spoiled. How dumb is that player for not taking an Uber? How dumb is that player for not picking up the phone and calling a ride that you can instantaneously get from the NFL if you're in a situation that you need to get out of? How dumb is that player? He knew he was going to drink before he left the home. How dumb is that player for not asking a friend to give him a ride home? We would be crucifying that player. If you're in a position of authority or a position of power, shouldn't you have more responsibility? Shouldn't your crimes be weighted more than someone else? I mean, in our legal system, we have juvie court, right? So if you're younger, you get tried as a child than as opposed to getting tried as an adult. But if you're a player, oh, we can rip the player. Oh, man, what an idiot. He makes all that money, and he couldn't even call a cab or an Uber. And our arms would be up in the air. We'd be mad as hell. And if he gets suspended for two or three games, good for him. Well, if you're the GM, shouldn't you get more punishment if it's found that he was guilty? And I'm not talking that the team should get hurt by them losing draft choices. But if Keim is guilty, shouldn't Keim get 8 or 9 games? I mean, according to the NFL, you don't have to be guilty for them to punish you. We see that all the time because it's for the good of the shield. We see it all the time. Guys get suspended for 2 games after they found innocent. But you know what? It's different. I was just talking about Ezekiel Elliott. He wasn't found guilty of anything, but the league popped him for 6 games. That's just a bad eye on the league. Wasn't it a bad black eye on the league if your GM is driving around drunk? I would think so. And let's say on this NFL being a hypocrite. Roger Goodell just 5-6 months ago said, we are not in the business of politics. Politics is not good for football. We don't do politics. We are not in the business of doing politics. Huh. Maybe Michael Bidwell wasn't at that meeting when that was said. Maybe Michael Bidwell hasn't read anything that Roger Goodell said. And we know this because what did he just do? He just supported the nominee for the Supreme Court that President Donald Trump just said, this is the guy I want to see. Now, Michael Bidwell could do whatever the hell he wants on his own time. Isn't that what NFL players are told? He can support whoever he wants on his own time. He could go on his Twitter, his Facebook, his Instagram. Hell, he could go on his Snapchat. He could do whatever the hell he wants on his own time, on his own platform. If I'm not mistaken, that's what players are told to do. You want to do it on your time, do it on your time. But it's unfair for the players to do anything on our time. Right? Didn't we even say, you know, owners have a right to look at a player and say, look, you can't protest on my dime. If you do, I'm sorry, but can't do that. The NBA doesn't. We always get on the NFL. The NBA has told players, can't protest on our time. Send their bylaws. You got to stand for the national anthem. It's right there. NFL is thinking of ways they can stop players from kneeling or doing whatever. Not on their dime, right? Then why the hell is Michael Bidwell putting out support for a political candidate on the team's social media? Why is he using that as his social media output for showing who he's from school from 30 years ago? This may be the nicest guy ever, but NFL owners have dropped the gauntlet on this for telling their players, do not protest on our time. Do not protest on our dime. Do not stand up or say whatever you want. When game days roll around, we want you talking about football. Shut up and play football. I believe that's what the Fox News anchor network told him. Shut up and play football. That's what you do. Football players, be good boys and play ball. We already will pay you a lot of money. We're going to tell you what to do. But now, all of a sudden, we could use a team social media outlet to port and endorse? I guess that's a privilege of being an owner. You create whatever rule you want. You just don't have to live by it. And what I don't want to see is a bunch of Homer journalists explaining how, oh, well, it's different. He really didn't support anyone. He was supporting his friend, not a political agenda or not the – man, take that crap somewhere else. He used the Cardinals' Twitter, and he used the Cardinals' format to send out support for someone. Let a player have done that. Tamir Rice on his socks and pull him up. Watch what would happen. I'm just saying. I guess when you're the owner, you don't have to follow the rules that you want your players to follow. I guess you can do that, and I guess people that love you and don't worry about credentials can follow up and just support you and do whatever they want to do. I guess that's just the way it goes. PLR, this is the Cave Show. We're coming to you live today from Duro's Hot Cigar and Tobacco. Let them know that PLR sent you. Get down here and take 10% off of any cigar purchase you want. Next couple of days, we're definitely going to be talking a little Summer League. I just got back from Vegas. No, I do not stick around for the playoffs. No, I have no interest in that. But what are some of the things that happened while I was out in Vegas, while I was gone? Devin Booker is now a rich young man. He is the seventh highest paid player in the NBA at $158 million. That kicks in next year. He is the cornerstone for the Phoenix Suns and their want to grow. Saw DeAndre Ayton playing at Summer League for the Suns. Guys, let me tell you something. I like what I saw. All I heard was DeAndre Ayton didn't play defense. Oh, you don't play defense. Oh, you can't get him. You got to probably draft Luka Doncic because he played at the highest level in Europe, and he's going to be a far much better player than yada, yada, yada. I know it's Summer League, so you can't get too overhyped. I saw DeAndre Jordan playing a lot of defense. DeAndre Ayton playing a lot of defense. I saw DeAndre Ayton going up and getting alley-oops. I saw DeAndre Ayton blocking out. I saw DeAndre Ayton run down Tayshaun Prince someone from behind. And then I saw Luka Doncic. He didn't play because he's resting. And this, listen, I'm not knocking Luka Doncic. I don't know the kid. I'm nothing against him. But I love how Luka Doncic's supporters always dog out Ayton, so I just thought I'd have some fun. Listen, Luka Doncic is in the right position with the right team, with the center, with Dennis Smith Jr., with Harrison Barnes, with Dirk DeLearn from, you know, being a European player, which I think is kind of overrated, but whatever. He's in a system that fits him. DeAndre Ayton is where he needs to be. The Suns cannot pass up talented size big man, considering that they've never had one in the draft or had the ability to get one. They've got their two guard of the future set. Josh Jackson is going to be improved from last year. You got Ayton. You go out, you sign Ariza. He's going to help a lot. And talking to Devin Booker, let you know what he said about Ayton probably a little bit more tomorrow, about Ariza a little bit more tomorrow, and how he's going to push him. The Suns are doing it the right way. They just are. Very impressed with this team. Very impressed with how they're doing business right now. Very impressed with who they're bringing in. I'm going to also give you tomorrow who I think will be on, who will not be a Phoenix Sun when the season starts, and why. I mean, the Suns right now, they're like KFC. All they have are wing dinners. They got a bunch of wings, and all of them cannot stick around and stay. So we got that coming up. We got a lot going on, y'all. A lot happening. I'm so happy to be back. It's so good to be back on air with you guys. Vegas is great. Vegas is a three-day stay. Got the work in. Of course, though, because it's hard to work in Vegas. As he said, tongue in cheek. Hey, make sure you get us, make sure you follow us on social media at the Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Cave is always with the K. You can also get us at thesportscave.com. Check out all the articles. Don't forget, we cover South Beach sports as well. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for the callers calling in. All calls are made on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. A lot to get into. More summer league, more hoops, more fallout from the NFL, so we got a lot to do. Thank you for joining us. This has been The Cave Show. This is PLR. Hopefully everyone has a great rest of your hump day. Until tomorrow, take care.